Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BikeRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Victoria Buckman, and we are going to be speaking about Programmed for Wealth. Victoria, the Wealth Catalyst, is a success mindset expert, combining her background in outside sales with her training as a hypnotherapist and intuitive. Victoria achieved Pinnacle and President's Award status year after year. With 25 years of sales experience, she created a successful corporate career with a Fortune 100 company. As the only woman on her sales team, she consistently ranked top sales among her peers. With coaching, training, and sales experience, she brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiration to those who want endless sales success. She offers her clients a truly unique perspective on growing a business and their financial success from the inside out. Victoria works with businesswomen, entrepreneurs, and business owners who have a great plan in mind for themselves and their business, but have reached a plateau that they can't rise above. You can find out more about Victoria and her program by visiting her website, which is programmedforwealth.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Victoria to the show. Good day, Victoria.
Hello, Robert. So good to be here.
Thank you. I am looking forward to our discussion. Our listening audience, my listening audience, is very interested in wealth and trying to be able to get that to work for them. So Programmed for Wealth is going to be a wonderful topic.
Great.
Okay. Well, you know, I usually like to start my show by having my guest give a little bit of a background. I did give a little bit in the introduction, but if you wouldn't mind maybe sharing a little bit more about your background and how it is that you came to focus on wealth and the idea of programming for wealth.
Well, Robert, I started out in corporate America in sales, as you said, and I did very well for myself. And when the company that I was working for at the time, the phone company, decided to change their name to many different names and changed hands, things were different the way they wanted us to sell. And I had always taken really good care of my clients, and I acted as though I worked for them. And the whole corporate culture kind of changed, and they wanted us to force people to buy certain things. And that wasn't me. So I decided to quit. And when I walked away, I was at the top of my game. I was making a lot of money at the time. And I took all of my money out of the company, 401k and stocks and all of that, and invested it with an investor who came highly recommended. And sure enough, that investor ended up being a Ponzi schemer, and he stole my whole entire life savings.
Oh, my God.
And I went from this confident, you know, executive woman to down to the lowest that I had ever been in my life, because I had wrapped up my self-worth and who I was in a money, in my money, in a dollar amount that was in the bank or in a number that I was making. And when my money went away, my self-confidence and my self-esteem went away. And I just decided that I never wanted that to happen to anyone, especially any woman on the planet, because a lot of times we wrap up our self-worth or our confidence in how much we're making, and that's not who we are. So that's kind of the shorter version of how this whole thing got started.
Yeah, boy. Well, you know, that idea of being forced to sell things that the customer didn't want, that seems to be, you know, permeated throughout the industry. I mean, phone and cable. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, I mean, it's really an old-style selling technique, really, that they seem to still employ and try and enforce people. But I think people are getting smarter nowadays.
Right. Well, and it's very interesting because the average consumer is a woman. You know, the percentage of people who are actually doing the buying decisions are usually women. And you're right, that old style of selling was very masculine energy and male-oriented. And you can't walk in with this masculine, you know, power over someone energy when you're talking to a woman. It just doesn't, yeah. You know, it clashes. It doesn't work.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, and also, you know, you mentioned that the idea of tying one's self-worth to dollars and cents. You know, that seems to be, again, one of those old paradigms, you know, where, you know, the male brings in the money and the female, you know, kind of works at home, you know, and the dollar value just isn't there. But in fact, you know, the woman in those situations really is, I mean, their contributions, I mean, it's sometimes hard to put dollars and cents on that actual contribution.
Exactly, exactly. And the interesting thing about Programmed for Wealth is when people see the word wealth, they automatically think of money. But Programmed for Wealth is about so much more, because wealth is not just about a dollar amount that you have in the bank or a number that you're bringing in every month. Wealth is about relationships and your health and, you know, the love that's in your life. It's about so much more. And we forget to define, what does wealth mean to me? And that's what Programmed for Wealth is all about. It's much more balanced. And wealth, if you ask the average person, every person that you talk to is going to, wealth is going to be something different to them. There may be a young woman that just is dying to have a baby and have a child, and that would be wealth to her. Or it might be someone who wants to go out and have a career, you know, and explore that side of their life. It's always different for everyone.
Yeah, that's very true. And now how, when someone, and I agree with you, first of all, you know, the idea of wealth is truly so much more than dollars and cents. You know, because when we leave this little earthly plane of ours in this life, you know, some of the things that, you know, the wealthy experiences that we take with us, in large part are not money. I mean, they're those intangible things, you know, relationship and community that kind of were built throughout the lifetime that really kind of go with us. But how, you know, in today's environment, it's sometimes difficult. Now, like when you're talking about for example, a husband-wife combination or any kind of partnership kind of combination, when one individual is, when individuals have different definitions of wealth, where, like, for example, again, a husband and wife, maybe the husband truly looks at wealth as the dollars and cents, but the wife recognizes that it's a much larger picture. Is there now, and then I kind of want to go in a little bit about program for, but is there any way, in your opinion, in your experience, is there any way to try to get those two to meet kind of halfway regarding their perspectives?
Well, you want their perspective to be pieces of the bigger puzzle. I wouldn't say where I want someone to compromise and meet somebody halfway, although any kind of partnership is filled with compromise and meeting people, you know, somewhere in the middle. But it's more about, yes, if he is looking at the, you know, money piece and she's looking at the community and friendship piece, it's all a a piece of the same big puzzle. There's so many pieces that come together as wealth. We need money. We're on a physical plane. It takes money to live. So, you know, wealth is definitely part of it. But if you had all the money in the world and no friends, what fun is that? So you've got to have the community and the friendships and the love and communication. So you can kind of play off of each other, let wealth, yes, wealth is important to me, and have the other person say yes, and relationships are important to me. But so how do we put all of this together to create something that's more whole?
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. And, you know, I agree with you. It's important really not to compromise, I mean, not to try and change one's, I guess, perspective, but I mean to recognize that they are all pieces of a puzzle, and you know each piece really is important to the total picture.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Now, programmed for wealth, programming. How does programming fit into it? I mean, are we pre-programmed, or do we have the ability to reprogram our perspectives?
All of the above. It's really interesting because if you would ask somebody, are you programmed, they would say, no, I'm not programmed, of course, right? But we are all programmed. We have all been programmed. We were given a set of beliefs from our parents, from our you know, church, from our school, from, you know, all these different people as we were growing up. When we were kids, we were like this little sponge. And we had to figure out, okay, how does this this earth work, and how do we work in it? And if you did one thing, then this certain circumstance happened. So you put meaning to things. And your parents and, you know, your relatives and all of the people that you're around all your life, they programmed you with their beliefs, you know, unconsciously or sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. So we've all been programmed. People who are sitting in front of a television, you are being programmed. So we're all being programmed, and we've all been programmed. But you can also change that programming. And that's what Programmed for Wealth is about, is being programmed, being having the thoughts and the beliefs that are leading you to this lush, full life that has all these pieces involved, the love, the relationship, the community, the money, all of it. So, yes, you are programmed, and yes, you can change that programming.
Okay. Well, now I recognize that, you know, quite often our programming, you know, we're programmed to limited thinking. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people my age grew up thinking, you know, or hearing, you know, there's only so much money to go around, or money doesn't grow on trees, or, you know, we kind of grew up, you know, hearing all of this limited type thinking, you know, that, you know, I guess was programmed into us. Now, is that part of your program in recognizing what the limited thinking is and addressing it?
Definitely. Definitely. And there's a very simple way to recognize it. If you sit down and listen to someone for 5 minutes or less, just the words that come out of their mouth, you can hear where the beliefs are that are limiting them and where they're being stuck. Because when we speak, we're so busy talking, most of the time we don't hear ourselves. But when I work with clients and I tape them and I tape our sessions and they go back and they listen to their own voice and the words that they use, they listen and they go, oh, my God, I had no idea I said that. Oh, my God, I said that 5 times. So, yes, and it is. It's about this limited thinking, and we call it limited thinking, and it is, but at the time when we were doing whatever it was that we were doing when we were a little kid and we put meaning to something, that same belief served us when we were a child. It kept us alive. It kept us safe. It kept us from getting in trouble. And then later on, as we grow and we learn more and we expand, those same beliefs that kept us safe are now the exact same ones that are limiting us. They're the exact same ones that are keeping us stuck.
Huh. Okay. Now, to me, that's interesting, the idea of being safe, you know, because I had one of those parental influences that was very good at limited thinking, you know, and putting limits on things. And, you know, I never, looking back, you know, I just don't see it really as creating a sense of safety for me. I mean, this is just, you know, for me. But, you know, so how does that limited framework make us feel safe, you know, when we're children?
Well, think about the very first thing that usually comes out of someone's mouth when they're near a child. Don't run in the street. You don't want to get hit by a car. Oh, no, don't touch that. You know, you might burn your finger. Or, you know, we are always given, no, don't do this. Oh, that might hurt you. Oh, don't do this. This, you know. So I'm not sure that it actually made the child feel safe, but at the time it was the limiting beliefs of a parent that they were overly protective or trying to keep that child safe. You know, often with really good intentions, right? But what it did was, okay, I'm not allowed to go out in the street. Well, then later on, you know, somebody's afraid to go walking at night or afraid to go out somewhere by themselves because this funny little belief expanded itself and showed up in another way. And now someone's, you know, afraid to go out by themselves or afraid to go out of the house. But it stemmed from something that someone was trying to keep you safe. We also have those voices in our head, right?
Yes, we do.
And those inner voices. And those inner voices that, you know, sometimes you call it the inner critic or, you know, this part of you that tells you, oh, you can't do that. Its intention actually is to keep you safe. It doesn't want you to go into really big changes in your life because then you're stepping into the unknown. But if you keep doing things the same way, it knows what'll happen. So it actually is trying to keep you safe.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's interesting because, you know, and I can see now, and thank you for that clarification because it, you know, it now makes sense, you know, as far as safety and then how that may translate into behaviors later in life. And, that's amazing. So now the recognizing, you know, that we do have this programming and there is a, you know, as we grow older and we recognize that it's maybe its purpose is no longer needed or appropriate, you know, for our, you know, our current situations, is there a way, how do we chip away at, you know, that programming that's been instilled in us since childhood maybe?
That's a good question. So the first thing that I talked about a little bit is paying attention to your language. Become aware of what it is that you're saying and what it is that you're doing. And is what you're doing, is it serving you in a way where I might sit down and say, okay, well, I'm going out into the yard and I'm pulling weeds and I'm working in the yard and you know, I kind of think of those limiting beliefs as these weeds that we need to pull. We want to go out and start to pluck away at some of these little things. So if you have some goals in your life and you want to achieve something, you want to sit down and go, okay, what would someone have to believe in order to know that they could achieve this goal? And what have I been saying or what have I been doing? If I've been doing this over here, something different, how is that going to move me to my goal? So if your goal is, you know, maybe somebody wants to reach $100,000 for the year in income, and they've never done anything like that. And if they, when they go out, they talk about, I don't have the money to do this, or I don't have the money to do, I'm broke today, I can't afford that. So if somebody wants to make $100,000, what do they have to believe? They have to believe, I'm really capable. I'm capable of having money flow in easily. I'm capable of having money come to me, you know, in ways that I don't even expect. Well, if you're saying words like, I can't afford that, or I'm broke, or, I can't do this, that is, those are not the beliefs of someone who's going to make $100,000. So you want to look at what is it that you're wanting to do, and what would you have, what would that person have to believe in order to do that? And is my language and are my actions lining up with that, or are they totally opposite? We say we want one thing, but our language and our actions are actually taking us in a whole different direction. So it's this, we're really good at paying attention to things outside in the world, but most of us don't really know ourselves very well. Why do I say that? Where did that come from? Does that, is that serving me, or should I start to shift and say that differently? So it's becoming aware of yourself, your own actions, and your language.
Yeah, you know, that's, I mean, I completely, you know, agree with that. I know I've found myself saying things or recognizing certain beliefs that were, you know, very old, you know, thought patterns, you know, that I truly don't believe now, but it's, they're so ingrained that, you know, there are times that it just kind of just pops right out, and it's like, oh my God, you know, I sound like my mother, or I sound like my father, you know, and like,
yes.
Man, that's the last thing I wanted to do, you know, and,
yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I really, and this kind of go, maybe we can address this a little bit, you know, I recognize the power of words. You know, the words are very important in how we express ourselves, you know, I believe is very important in helping guide us to what it is that we want to achieve. Now, so when it comes to affirmations, I believe in them to a degree. You know, I believe that it's really kind of, we really have to get at the we have to shift the belief at core level. You know, the words,
right.
Words are good, but it's a belief, I believe, that really needs to shift more so than the words. One of the things that I really like that you talked about is that you use the word, I am capable of. You know, to me, that is a great way of recognizing one's power without denying what may be a current situation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you about words. I somewhat believe in affirmations, but I believe that, you know, how you were saying that it was an old habit, it was an old saying, and it just popped up there. It's kind of like those who are listening who are in our era know about records and those grooves. And, you know, that groove keeps getting deeper and deeper. And so even though you may change your words, that groove is still there. There's actually a habit formed in addition to the belief that you also have to change the physical habit. And I believe that our limiting programming is kind of like old software in your computer. If you're running some software that, you know, came with your computer and you bought it 15 years ago, it's obsolete. It's not working very well for you. If you want to go in and do something in Excel and you're trying to do it on a Word program, that is just not going to work, right? But
yeah.
If you were just to lay some affirmations and some new software over the top of the old software, you know, it might work a little bit, but pretty much you're going to get mush. So you actually have to go in and take the old software out. Take the old programming out before you put the new programming in. And that's where hypnotherapy and some other different practices that I use work very well. Because we want to go in and we want to go, like I was out in the backyard pulling those weeds, we want to go find the one big honking weed and get it by the root. And when we get the one big one, all the little ones surrounding it will go away with it. And when you pull it out, and then you go and put the new stuff in, then it runs so much more cleanly. And then these old habits start to fall away.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for getting to the root of things and getting them out. We're going to take a short break in a minute, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask Victoria any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 619-789-4359. And also, if you're listening live in the chat room and you would like me to pose a question to Victoria, feel free to type it in and I'll be sure to ask her. Victoria, right after a break, I'd like to come back, and there are three different areas of in regard to wealth and programming that I kind of like to talk about individually and kind of see if there's any approaches listeners can take toward reprogramming themselves, and that will be regarding money, people, and resources, because those are three very kind of distinctly different areas, and maybe if there's anything in particular, and we talked a little bit about money, but I mean, I kind of want to just recap that right after the break, okay?
Sounds good.
Great. Okay. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Here's what Heather had to say about joy potential.
Our lives have many chapters, and some transitions are scarier than others. Fortunately, the main character in your book comes in contact with people on a new job that he thought he would never have to do at his age. They listen and talk with each other, and the process they go through is magic and life-changing. Listening is one of the most important skills anyone can have and a skill anyone can develop. I so enjoyed John and Leonora and remember thinking while I was reading the book, are they real? Some people help us put our training wheels on and some people help us take our training wheels off. Anyway, I did so enjoy the book. Thank you.
Hi, Robert. Evelyn here from treeofenchantments.com, my little online magical forest shop. And talk about magic. Boy, joy potential is truly magical. This story about a week when everything turns to a new life path, speaking of fear turning into excitement, startling new connections with others, breathtaking new thought patterns, really, I could go on and on. The ending is such a surprise. Honestly, I couldn't put it down. And when I finished reading it, I wanted more. You don't come across books like this often in life. No matter where you are, joy potential will open awareness and simply delight. Thank you, Robert, for a really wonderful book. I look forward to the next book and to the next one and the one after that. I hope many, many people read Joy Potential. They will be very glad they did.
For more information, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me. Or call 843-808-0777.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, I do want to thank Heather and Evelyn for those joy potential testimonials. Also, to let you know again, everyone, just this week I released my newest ebook called It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites. It's all about insights and inspiration that I have received from guests over the last 4 years and have over 60 different types of actions that people can take to make their life better and more stress-free. All of that is available if you go to biteradio.me, biteradio.me, and click on the books link, and you'll see both Joy Potential and Spirituality Bites there. Okay, back to today's show again. My very special guest is Victoria Buckman, and we are talking about Programmed for Wealth. And you can find out more about Victoria, her blog, and programs and speaking information by visiting her website, which is programmedforwealth.com. And again, I do have a direct link in the show page description to her website there. Okay, we're back. Victoria?
Hi, Robert. Good to have you back.
Great, thanks. Okay, now I'd like to, you know, maybe, again, like I said before break, focus a little bit on the different types of areas where, you know, people can maybe, you know, reprogram and do some reprogramming to attract wealthy types of situations. Again, with money. Now, you indicated earlier in the show that, you know, we really kind of need to not focus on lack. So what would be some ways that you would suggest that listeners could start to reprogram themselves when it comes to attracting money into their life?
One of the easiest ways to attract more money into your life is to start tracking it. And what I mean by that is every time money comes into your life, even that even includes walking down the street and you picked up 2 pennies off the street, and every day you have a little tracking sheet and you just jot down how much money came into your life that day. And you'll be, you know, quite surprised that you actually, money comes into your life every day, so a lot of times in small ways that you kind of discount or you don't recognize or really acknowledge. And when you track something, what you focus on expands. So by tracking something, you're creating this focus, this energy towards watching money come into your life. And as you do that, it starts to expand. And the funny thing about this is, you know, I had a couple of days where I was tracking how much money was coming in my life, and there was a couple of days where I didn't find any pennies or I didn't have any money coming in, and I went, darn, I didn't have any money come in my life today, so I need to go do something to create some money to come into my life. So it also kicks in your creativity and the right side of your brain and, you know, your insight and your intuition, and all of a sudden you come up with new ideas of how to create more money in your life. So that is a real simple little thing that really works.
Well, that's great. Well, I have already put my sheet aside for that. and it's funny because, I mean, that's one of those things where I like to put my attention. And just probably 2 hours before today's show, I was going through and cleaning up a whole bunch of stuff, just, you know, getting rid of clutter. And opened up this one box, and right at the bottom of the box was all this loose change that was there. And I thought, okay, well, that's pretty cool. So I'm going to go ahead and start my log. I've got my first entry, you know, that happened a couple hours ago. So, but that's a really great idea to help reinforce, the fact that we do have it coming into us every day.
Yeah, and if you're sitting at a desk, put it on the left-hand corner of your desk. So in feng shui, that's the abundance corner, and keep your little tracking sheet right there.
Okay, I am moving it over there right now. Okay, that's good. Well, I like that idea, because quite often, I mean, you know, people usually avoid the idea of keeping track, you know, because especially if you're in a period where the money is not coming in or it's not coming in at the rate that you would want it to, quite often now, I guess then that kind of shifts our focus to what's not happening versus what is, correct?
Right. And we do focus on money going out more than we know we do. So we're always focused on, oh, bills and, oh, money went out for this and money went out for that, but we don't pay attention to all the money that comes in. So if you can shift that focus to money coming in, then more money will come in.
Great. Okay, well, that's good. That's a real simple activity that people can start with right after the show. So
yeah.
That's great. Okay, now, People. You know, as far as people in our lives, everyone probably has people who are, you know, supportive, energizing, and uplifting, as well as some on the other side who are draining, depressing, and energy draining. What do we do, you know, regarding wealth, you know, the wealth of the people around us and in our lives? You know, do you have any comments about that?
I do. People are ultimately so important to wealth because if you think about it, whenever any money comes into your life, it involves another person. Money comes through other people. So all of those people that you have in your life that are uplifting and energizing, spend time with those people. And you know what they say, that, you know, the five people that you hang around, if you take the average of their income, that's the average of what your income is going to be. So find some people who are wealthy. Find some people that have all the things in life that you want. Find people with rich relationships. Find a person that makes, you know, a good amount of money doing what they love. Find somebody that has, you know, this amazing community or family. And, you know, all the pieces, be around those people. And then the people who are the opposite of those, the ones that drain or, you know, are not uplifting you, limit your time with them. The funny thing is sometimes those are the ones that are in our family. So we have to watch that. But you can limit your time with people. And if you realize that money comes to you through people, and these people who are energizing and uplifting, they have a high vibration. You know about joy. You just wrote about joy. Joy has a very high vibration. And when you're around people with high vibration and high energy, that is what's going to bring more of that into your life, and money hangs out in that energy. So
yeah,
you want to really be cognizant of how much time do I spend with people that are uplifting versus how much time do I spend with people who are the opposite.
Yeah, well, that's great. And also, you know, sometimes I know that people who are in challenging situations sometimes retreat from life in a way, you know, and
right.
Kind of become more of a hermit. So this is, it's what you're saying is it's really kind of critical to avoid that tendency to withdraw and then actually shift it around and be more gregarious and go out and put yourself in situations where you meet people that are uplifting and maybe through whom that money can come, or that wealth, whatever wealth you want.
Definitely, yeah. If we're just going to sit and kind of stew in our own little misery, it's harder for you to uplift yourself. But as soon as you get around with somebody that has high energy, even if you were sitting at a Starbucks and you were sitting next to somebody that was laughing and having fun, even you don't even know them or didn't even engage in conversation with them, just being in the realm of energy, the 3 foot all around this person and being in that energy, it's going to have an effect on your energy level and lift it up.
Yeah. Okay, well, there we go. So everybody can start their money log, incoming money log, and start to plan some social activities around people. Now, regarding resources, you know, whenever we do anything in life, you know, we really kind of draw from, you know, various, not only people and money, but also resources, different types of programs, you know, just all kinds of different types of services, really, that can kind of support us toward meeting our goals. How do we attract those areas?
What I do with resources is when I want something to come into my life, I sit down and I use my imagination. I sit down and I go, oh, I wonder what it would feel like if I had this particular program in my life and it, you know, did this certain thing for me. And I would go into the, oh, I wonder what that would be like. And then I would also go, what would that feel like? And I try to get those feelings in my body and alive as much as possible. And it's really magical. Our imagination is the most amazing resource that we have, and it's free. And you can use it at any time. It's there 24/7 almost. And and you know, use your imagination. Oh, I wonder what it would be like for this thing to come into my life, and what would that feel like? And why are little kids so happy and joyful? And you know, they seem to have everything that they need. They're always using their imagination. They make up their imaginary friends, and they're talking to them. And so we need to start to engage our imagination more. And whatever the resource is that you're looking for, imagine having it in your life, and how would it feel? And how would my life be different? And then what would I do? And how would I go out and be different myself? And you keep doing that, you know, for 2-3 minutes a couple times a day or once a day would be fabulous. All of a sudden that resource or something better is just going to show up.
Great. Well, good. Well, those are wonderful approaches toward attracting the money, people, and resources. So I'm going to recap for the listeners, you know, the idea of attracting money. You had the idea of the money log, you know, just writing down and keeping track of incoming money, no matter how little or much. It keeps the focus on incoming money. Regarding people, you really stressed how important it is to go out and be among people with whom through whom money can come, you know, and uplifting, positive, joyous types of folks, limiting times with those who are negative, hold you back, and that kind of thing. And then the last one with the resources, use your imagination. You know, you kind of spend some time imagining. And then I would think it would be probably then, once you get that sense or that feeling of the resources that you want, then to take the next step and actually look for or try and, you know, create an opportunity for those resources to come to you.
Yes, and a lot of times when you're using your imagination and you're focusing on the feeling of it, you get these insights and you get ideas, and it kind of gives you idea, oh, I can go talk to Susie over there, or oh, I need to go over to, you know, this business over there because that's what they do. So ideas pop in your head so that you then can take the action.
Okay, great. Well, great information and different actions that people can take to really kind of shift the focus toward being better programmed for wealth. One of the things I really liked, you have a blog on your website, and for those of you listening, I would definitely suggest that you go and look at that. But one of the things that you spoke about on your blog is you spent about a month focused on self-care and gratitude. I was wondering, why did you do that? You know, and what do you mean by self-care? And what are some things that the listeners can do to take care of themselves better?
Well, that's a good question. So I was focused on self-care because there are a lot of us women, and some great men too, that we are really good at giving. And our culture has kind of ingrained in us that we want to be givers. You know, what do we always hear? It's better to give than receive. Well, but I like to think of giving almost like your breath. Giving is breathing out. Receiving is breathing in. And there's so many of us that are always giving out, and if we walked around just breathing out and we never breathed in, we wouldn't last very long. So self-care is about receiving, and it's also about receiving from yourself. So there's all the things that, you know, the natural things about exercise and good food and water and rest, but and massage and those kind of things. But self-care is about being around those people that uplift you and stop, being around people that don't uplift you or spending so much time with them. Self-care is about paying attention to your language and the others that you hang around with, what their language is, and shifting that to language that's loving and caring, especially the language that you don't hear, that you hear in your head, but you don't say it out loud. How are you talking to yourself? Those are really important parts of self-care. And these are important parts of, this is all part of having that wealth in your life in all of its many facets, right? Being able to say no when you really want to say no. And saying yes to something, like when someone wants to give to you. Being able to receive and saying yes when it is a yes. So self-care is an extremely important piece of having balance, and wealth is all about having the balance of all the different aspects of wealth in your life. So they kind of go together.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love this because in my ebook that I mentioned, I have a chapter on it called It's Not Give and Take, It's Giving and Receiving, you know, and that is, I use the example of breathing. You know, to me it was just, you know, when you said that, it's like, oh my God, that's exactly what I said. You know, so, I mean, the idea really is like, oh, yay, I'm on
track. That's the intuitive part kicking in.
Really, I was like, that's good. But, you know, and it was, you know, it was really interesting because, you know, it really, in that particular section, it, you know, it was one of those things that I noticed that there are, you know, there are people, like you say, that are, you know, tend to fall into the giving category. And then it's like, you know, at what point does the energy run out, you know, I mean, without taking something back in, you know, and it was, you know, so I recognized, you know, the importance of that and really made the distinction between receiving and taking, you know, because to me those were two, you know, very distinctly different approaches. There are those people out there that are just takers. They just want to, you know, do zap, you know, whatever they can from you and, you know, but, and I think for people who have a tendency to give of themselves advice, support, money, whatever, that there is a tendency that receiving or is like taking, you know, and that's not that's not true. So
no,
you know, it's
totally different energy, receiving and taking. And if you are one of those givers, those takers tend to gravitate towards you, and then you're on the giving side with a taker on the other side of it, and you're right, it's going to deplete you. And, you know, just like if you didn't take in some breath, if you just kept breathing out but never breathing in, pretty soon you're going to become bitter and resentful and all these different emotions that don't attract wealth.
Yeah, very much. Well, you know, and thank you. I'm going to make sure I put an addendum, you know, in my on my webpage to contact Victoria Buckman, read her blog post, you know, regarding that. So, yeah, that is self-care really does seem to be an important aspect toward achieving, you know, wealth and abundance. One of the other blog posts that you had, which I really found interesting, was regarding increasing happiness with increasing business. You kind of equated the two. And I found that one interesting because whenever, you know, for those of us who are entrepreneurs or business owners, whenever business is not good, you know, the natural tendency is to be unhappy, you know.
Right.
And so, to me, it's interesting, you know, can you talk a little bit about, you know, the correlation between the two?
Well, it's all about energy, right? It's all about your vibration and the energy that you're holding. Because whenever you're happy, you have this high energy, high vibration, high frequency, and you're going to be attracting in good things into your life. So if you were to walk into a business and you have this unhappy business owner that has, okay, hello, what do you want, you know, and they bark at you, do you want to do business with them? No, you're going to turn around and walk back out of the store. But if you are a happy person and you're uplifting, it doesn't really matter what your business is. People just want to be around you. So they'll come do business with you because they like being in your energy. And the more happy you are and uplifting, and the more you're attracting all these different people that want to be around you, your business just increases as a side effect. So you, even when business is low, you've got to do things to get your own happiness level up. And that's where the gratitude plays in. If you start sitting down and going, okay, well, I didn't get any clients today, but I live in this amazing house, and I have a fabulous husband, and my health is really doing well, and I've got money in the bank, and it's kind of like your tracking sheet for your money coming in. When you start looking at what you have and what you're grateful for, it increases. And when you look at all the things that you can be grateful for, everybody can be grateful for getting up in the morning and that they are still breathing in and out. That's going to raise your happiness level, and you can do some things intentionally to raise it. Turn on some music and dance all crazy to a song for 2 minutes. That will raise your energy level. You cannot be depressed and dancing to some upbeat music. And then get yourself back up and happy, and then you go out and do business. And I've been in sales for all my life, and sales is service. I get to go find out what somebody needs and help them get what they need. I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'm trying to make them happier by helping them get what they already want or need. And that's what sales is about. It's about service. And any kind of business, you are serving people. Help them get what they need. Help them be more happy. Even if it means referring them to somebody else who has what they need because you don't.
Yeah. I really like the way, I mean, that's the old Christmas story, Gimbel's Macy's thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of dating ourselves, but myself, but you know, and see, to me, that's just, that seems to go such a long way, because if it's something that you don't have, then it's not like you're losing business, you know, because.
Right.
I mean, you don't have it anyway to provide. So,
right.
But in the long run, if you help assist someone to getting to fulfilling their need, then when it comes to, you know, them looking for something else that you may have, they will come to you recognizing how helpful you were to them. So, it really
right.
does.
Not
it's
only
one
that,
of those, kind of like a long term investment in a way.
Yes. And not only that, you talked about resources before. They now see you as a resource. Oh, I know somebody that knows a lot of people. I'll go to Victoria because if she doesn't have what I need, she knows someone who will. So all of a sudden, more people are coming to you and seeing you as a resource, which uplifts your whole energy, and more people come to you. And remember, money and wealth and resources and all of that come through people.
Yep, absolutely.
We all need each other.
Exactly. And it's great to be able to, you know, position yourself to be the go-to person, you know, for whatever. Because then if you have what they need, boom, you're already there right up front. But if you don't, then you can kind of refer them back to and, you know, establish that relationship that they'll come back again. Well, that's very good business practice there. Okay, and gosh, we're down to 6 minutes, so I want to kind of finish up with the topic being, again, another one from your blog, regarding creativity. You know, that's one of those areas. I love to be creative. So how does thinking creatively fit in with programming oneself for wealth? How does that, I mean, you mentioned a little bit earlier when we were talking about resources and imagining, you know, ourselves as having those resources. Is there anything in addition or any ideas regarding creativity that you maybe can offer to the listeners as far as working toward that reprogramming for wealth?
Definitely. So thinking creatively is using the right side of your brain. So when you're thinking creatively, you're doing something differently. So when you're doing something differently, that's exactly what you are doing if we went all the way back to the beginning with those limiting beliefs. In order to get rid of limiting beliefs and put in new beliefs, you need to do things differently. You need to think differently. So creative thinking unblocks some of that limited thinking. You're starting to do things differently, so you're seeing from a new angle or a new perspective. When you use creativity and creative thinking, you're using the right side of the brain, which most of us don't, you know, some of us do, but a lot of people don't use. They're using their left analytical side all the time. And as soon as you start kicking in the right side of the brain, that's the side that has your intuition, your insights, your creativity. All of those juices start to flow and get working again, and you get new ideas. And so creativity breeds more creativity. Creativity breeds more new ways of doing things differently. And that's where your higher guidance kicks in, your wise self that knows all about you and what is best for you.
Great. Well, gosh, we're down to the last few minutes. Thank you. I mean, this has really been wonderfully helpful for me and hopefully
good
for the listeners as well. In the last few minutes, is there anything you might want to share with listeners, anything, you know, regarding your website, availability of resources, or anything that you'd like to share with listeners before we close?
Well, I encourage them to go to programmedforwealth.com and sign up. They will get three videos on how to raise your energy level, very quick, simple, easy exercises. And then they would also get my 60 Seconds to Success tips. They're little tips of what you can do that come out one every 14 days for a whole entire year. It's like getting a virtual coach for free. And I also offer up a 30-minute session to help them find what's blocking them from success and wealth. And I can give them some suggestions on how to break through some of that.
Boy, that's great. That's a great idea. And they just basically have to go to your website and sign, put in their name and email, correct, and submit that.
Yeah.
And that's what. Okay, great.
Over to the right side, there's a little box that says Raise Your Energy Videos and 60 Seconds to Success Tips.
Perfect. Great. And I also noticed on your website you have, as far as following you, you're on Facebook, Twitter, you're on everywhere, LinkedIn, Google Plus, Pinterest, everywhere. So if people want to follow you, they can easily go there and do that as well. So, well, Victoria, thank you for your time today. I've really enjoyed our conversation. It's really been very helpful and informative, and again, it's just been great. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for the opportunity. I love helping people, and they got some tangible things they can do, so that's what's important.
Exactly. Okay. Everyone, again, I want to remind you that today my very special guest has been Victoria Buckman, and we have been talking about Programmed for Wealth. And again, you can find out more about her by visiting her website, which is programmedforwealth.com. And again, there is a direct link in the show page description to her website. And again, do visit her website and sign up for your free videos and 60 seconds to success, coaching tips, all of that is available on her website. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's BiteRadio.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.